escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know what you feel? You feel football is what you feel, right? I mean, you have to feel football. Because if baseball season didn't end earlier than yesterday, it ended yesterday. Yeah, if Atlanta United season didn't end earlier, it ended yesterday too. My goodness. Welcome to a Sunday. Sunday being the first day of the week. For those of you swampers who have a hard time reading a calendar, Sunday's the first day of the week. That's why the calendars go Sunday through Saturday, not Monday through Sunday. Anyway. So first day of this week, and why is that important to you and me as Atlanta Falcons fans? Well, because this is the first day of the first week of the first Falcons game. How about that? It is actually Falcons game week. Yay! It's about time. It is Falcons game week Friday night. Falcons and Lions, well, the sort of Falcons and the sort of Lions, Kyle Allen against Easton Stick or something like that. I don't know what it's going to be. God, preseason football sucks. You know, I was talking yesterday, for those of you who missed the show, and you really shouldn't miss the show because, you know, this is your show. You should be here for your show, that I think that when the NFL goes to the 18-game regular season, which I think will be year after next, when they go to, it could be next year. They could be opening the CBA up because of this ESPN thing. They could be ESPN and the NFL are going into business together. We'll get into that a little bit later. Because NFL is going to take a stake in ESPN and Red Zone and other things moving over. All right. Anyway, the point is that as they're starting to maneuver some of the television products here, they could reopen the CBA. The NFL has said, and Arthur Blank has echoed it and said it too, every team in the NFL is going to start playing an international game every single year. Okay, Falcons are playing in Germany this year, but everybody's going to play an international game. You're going to play in Canada, Mexico, Germany, Spain, Italy, England, Brazil, Japan. So everybody's going to play one international game a year. Okay, and that'll be the 18th game in the regular season. And they'll go down to two preseason games. I'm like, let's just get rid of the preseason games because the Falcons have coming up in, I don't know, a week and a half or so. They've got a joint practice. Last two practices at camp are joint practices with the Tennessee Titans at Flowery Branch. They're going to be open to the public. You want to go to them. But that's maybe the only time you're going to see Michael Penix and Bijan Robinson and Drake London actually before the opening game against Tampa, because they're not playing in those preseason games. You're not going to do that. But you would see them in the 7-on-7, 11-on-11 scrimmage against the Tennessee Titans. So I said, look, get rid of the two preseason games and instead hold an open scrimmage, a home and road open scrimmage for every team in the NFL. So you open up Mercedes-Benz Stadium, sell tickets, and then you play an open scrimmage, You know, 7-on-7 practice, then 7-on-7 and 11-on-11, Titans and Falcons, for example. And then the next week, the Falcons would have to go on the road somewhere, like the New York Jets or something, and there would be an open scrimmage practice, 7-on-7, 11-on-11. You can televise it. You can have the set there, and people could talk about the team and point out the players. I would be much more interested in going to that than a preseason game with a bunch of guys that may not even make the team. I don't know about you. I find that more interesting. To me, the preseason, the best thing about the camp and the preseason are going to be those two joint practices with the Tennessee Titans. And if you've never been to a joint practice, they're actually fun to watch because the starters are practicing. And it's a little feisty, and it's kind of fun. It's, but so what? I mean, don't need anything more than that. And that would suffice. When coaches say to you, hey, listen, the reason we don't need to play our starters in the preseason games is that they play in those joint practices, trust me, they get more out of the joint practices than they ever would a preseason game. They get more out of it because it's usually ones-on-ones. That's where you actually see the starters going up against, and Michael Penix needs to play against the ones of the Tennessee Titans. He does not need to be, you know, the Lions or the reserves of the Titans or some guy that's, you know, going to, like last year when some dude took like four steps and planted Michael Penix, some dude that probably didn't make an NFL roster but was going to do whatever it took, flag be damned, to try to hit Michael Penix because he was trying to make a light-em-up play in order to grab the attention of the coaches or put something on tape. Didn't care whether or not it was legal or not. So that's why you're like, eh. We'll talk to Joe Patrick about what he saw at practice yesterday. I ask him the question if you're getting any indication, for example, that there's any reason, because I see none, but maybe there's any indication that Michael Penix and or the Roke Don Lyer are going to play even one snap in the preseason. Now, they may play them both. They may play Cousins some. They may play Penix some. I don't know how they're going to do this. I'll ask Joe about that. Well, I mentioned baseball season. Wasn't it like a perfect metaphor? Yesterday, my brother's texting me the whole time because he went to the Speedway Classic talking about how much of a disaster it was. It was a disaster from a traffic standpoint. You would think, since they put on a race there with 150,000 fans, that they know how to handle this. But apparently they didn't handle it. A, it was raining like crazy. And B, they just didn't have, he said, getting that up the road was a disaster. Getting into the parking lot was a disaster. Getting into the stadium was a disaster. Everything took, it took 45 minutes to get in the stadium. He said the concessions were a disaster. Of course, it's raining. He said the whole thing, it was just, he called it a two-word thing that starts with cluster, okay? That's what he called it. So he goes up there for that. He said it's just a, but what a metaphor. I mean, it's a cluster up there in the rain, and they don't even get to play much of the game. And the Braves are losing. Isn't that kind of like the entire season of the Braves wrapped into one? And they have a starter who can't go. What do they have left and he can't go? Because they Strider was supposed to, but with the rain delay, they said, we're not putting him in. So there was like Dewey Cox or somebody, Bobby Cox, I don't know, anybody. Somebody I don't know. And so they're going to actually, now fortunately, both teams, oddly, were off today. So they're going to pick up the game today, and they're going to actually play this game, which is good for Bristol Motor Speedway and for both clubs. And, you know, there's a lot of money invested in this whole thing, and, you know, it was going to be a disaster if it was like, you know, a one-inning thing in the rain. Trying to watch that game in the rain last night, I'm like, how? The headshot, and the infield is, you know, the dirt is like just pools of water and mud. I'm like, how playing this game right now? I mean, this is ridiculous. And they finally said, yeah, this is sort of ridiculous. I went, yeah, it sort of is. For those of you who are inclined to watch the remainder of the Braves season, they will pick up the game today at Bristol Motor Speedway, try and finish it out. They'll come home, the Braves will, for a homestand beginning tomorrow. Well, they will play the team with the best record in baseball. Oh, you mean the Dodgers are not? No. The team with the best record in baseball. Oh, the Yankees? No. The team with the best record in baseball. The Mets? No. The team with the best record in baseball. Come on. Who's that? The Milwaukee Brewers. Yeah, they have the best record in baseball. The Milwaukee Brewers have the best record in baseball. The Milwaukee Brewers. We're the Braves. They're the Brewer. Okay. Anyway, so the team with the best record in the game, I guess best team in the game, the Milwaukee Brewers are in tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to be watching. I may try and check out a little of the Speedway game today if they can actually get it in among the rain. And that's pretty much going to be my Braves viewing for the year, I think. Last night, Atlanta United went down to Orlando and they lost again in this League's Cup thing to Pumas, which is like a mid-Liga MX team out of Mexico City. And they choked and lost in stoppage time. Atlanta United has played 26 games this year, 26 matches. 26. Want to venture how many of those they've won? Four. They played 26 matches across all competitions. Four wins. Whew. Yeah, that's how bad it's been for them. So it has been a sad, sad summer. But the good news is, again, today is Sunday, the first day of the first Falcons week of the year. And we can turn our attention almost, look, if you want to call in and talk baseball or soccer, that's fine. You're welcome to talk it. Fire the coach. Get new players. I don't know what to tell you. I think that's kind of where we're at with both franchises at the moment. But you are more than welcome to complain and bitch and moan and whatever it is you want to do about Atlanta United or the Braves. This is a safe space. You can do that. It's fine. I have no problem with you doing it. I'm just sort of out of things to say about it. I'm talking about me, not you. You're welcome to do it, and I'll weigh in. If you ask me a question about it, I'll be happy to answer it, so we'll talk about it. And so that's good, but now I think we turn our attention away from the sad summer to the hopefully festive fall, a wonderful winter, and the Falcons and the Hawks, and college football, and all that, because the Falcons play Friday, Corky Kell is coming, college football is 20 days away. So all of that has kind of got good news here, I think, when you start talking about what's ahead. So we start kind of forward thinking here, and we will get Joe Patrick in about 10 minutes, talk to him about the Falcons and whatnot. So I'm really excited. I'll be down there for the opening game for the Falcons this year against Tampa, and so I'm looking forward to that. You know, it'll be really interesting, a really important game. So I'm not coming down for no spring training, rather preseason game. I just don't know. And so I was talking to my daughter. I said, I think I'll make the opener against Tampa. As many of you know, my wife and I have been dealing with some pretty severe family issues. And so as a result, we have had to, at least temporarily, and who knows how long we're going to be here. We've been here 5 months, deal with elderly parents. It's really great. Both of us are, you know, she doesn't want me to mention her age, but she's the same age as me, and I'm 65. So that'll give you an idea how old she might be. And we are blessed by God that all of our parents are still with us, which is rare to have a couple that's both, well, I'm 65 and she's my age. So we're blessed beyond words to have all of our parents still with us. However, the downside of that is they're all pretty much 90. And they're all, you know, we're in that kind of situation. And they all need a lot of help. And so we have been called upon to, at this point in our lives, do that, which is why I'm here in Indiana. And I have to come back and forth and back and forth, which is fine. It's not that long a drive. It's 8 hours. I can, you know, shoot down the highway and be there. So, and my daughter, Danny, is still, you know, working at the stadium and doing her thing. And so I go down and see her. And so I'll be back for the opening game here. It is funny. My wife was talking to me about, we have to go grocery shopping and she wants to go to the Gucci Kroger in Bloomington. Noelle White is the technical director, the executive producer, et cetera, you know, of this show. First off, Noelle, how are you today?
Good morning, John. Not too bad. The rain that took away our Speedway Classic came rolling in this morning. So yeah, there's that. But other there's than that, pretty good.
Yeah. Well, it was like in the upper 50s here last night with no humidity. And I'm walking around. I'm like, I got to change. I had to go in and put jeans and a sweatshirt on. I went, oh, that's like fall.
I know, like, right?
Wow. Okay. So anyway, you ever been up to the Kroger in Cartersville?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay, so there's a Super Kroger in Cartersville if you've never been there. And the Super Kroger in Cartersville is gigantic. It's the size of a Walmart, okay? It's huge. And they've got like this big food court, and they've got this whole section of the store. It's like a really big grocery store, and then it's got another section that's got clothes and toys and home goods and things like that. So it's like a super Kroger, okay? So they've got something that amounts to that here in Bloomington, and they call it the Gucci Kroger, where it doesn't have the whole clothes thing, but they've got this big food court with like an Asian restaurant and a Mexican restaurant and, you know, this like six kind of restaurants and Starbucks and, you know, sushi place and the whole bit. And so it's really high end. And so she wants to go, she has to go to the Gucci Kroger. She can't just go to like the normal Kroger, which is, you know, half a mile away. No, we got to drive clear across town, which isn't that far. It's 6 miles. But we got to drive across town to go to the Gucci. I'm like, really? We can't just go to like the Kroger? The normal Kroger? Okay. I don't really understand that one. And see, the thing is right now here, and I noticed this yesterday, Bloomington is an interesting town because it's a college town, as you know, and mm-hmm. this is true of every college town, and it's probably even true of Atlanta to some degree, but it's magnified here because town's 150,000 people, and Indiana University is 60,000 students.
Yeah.
So here's a town of 150,000, and here comes 60,000 people into town, right? So all of the, I was at Wally World and everything else, right? They're all packed. Well, suddenly, the malls are packed, Wally World's packed, you know, At Home is packed, and they're to the rafters with, like, mini fridges, yep. And...
storage, you know, bins and...
Yeah, exactly, right?
Whiteboards.
I mean, just packed with all this student stuff that, you know, that you would use in dorms and stuff, and it's like, oh, okay. So, all right. If you need a mini fridge, let me know. I can bring one down. There's a few million of them here.
Yeah, I've seen that in Ann Arbor.
Give me a shot.
When I would go visit my aunts and uncles at a certain time of the year, and you can definitely tell when the students are there and when they're not. It's definitely way more fuller when they're there.
Yeah, which is too bad because golf has been really easy because the golf courses have been empty, which is odd. The golf courses here are empty in the summer. They're just packed in the spring and the fall because the students are here. But when the students are gone, it's like, oh, we can play golf all we want. Okay, good.
That's an easy
which is
summer.
Reverse of anywhere else. You know, right. Joe Patrick's going to jump into the show. We're going to ask Joe about the Falcons this week. Looking forward to the first Falcons preseason game on Friday night against the Lions. What do we expect? Are we going to see either of the quarterbacks? Will we get a first look at Jalen Walker with his hamstring? Are they going to park him? How's this all going to work here? All the big stories. We'll talk to him about Micah Parsons, too. Joe's live next with John Fricke on this Sunday morning on your home with the Falcons, Sports Radio 90 Time the Game.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sunday on Sports Radio 92 on the Game from the Northern Kia Studios, John Fricke with you. We'll be taking your calls at 404-726-0929. And we'll do that coming up in about 15 minutes or so, 20 minutes. First, let's kind of get the insight because it is football week here after all. First day of football week for the Atlanta Falcons. They play this week, and for every week between now and February, we're going to have football, because here it comes, NFL preseason. We'll get a bunch of games on Thursday, and then the Falcons will play Friday against the Detroit Lions at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Who are we going to see? What's going to happen? Let's get the very latest from our Falcons insider, Joe Patrick, who joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Joe, what is shaking?
John, it's been a long opening week of training camp. It always is, kind of getting readjusted to everything, but it's been exciting. It's been fun, and so no complaints from me. I'm just interested to see how this team's going to be able to practice. I know you're not here locally, but like it's been rainy. It looks like there's rain in the forecast, so that would be interesting if they had to move indoors. I wouldn't hate it instead of having to sweat in the blazing sun, but you know, it's fun that football's back, like you said.
All right, so it is the first football week of the year. You know, at some point, I mean, you don't game plan for preseason like you do for the regular season, so there's no – I mean, but you do – what you do, and some fans don't know this, is you do kind of start to begin the concept of now Friday being a Friday game. It won't necessarily be this way, but the routine of how every game week will go. In other words, this happens on Monday, this happens on Tuesday, this happens on Wednesday, you know, and then you just sort of fall into, okay, this is the slot here, so everybody gets used to the tempo of a game week rather than just kind of random practices throughout the week. So that's one thing to keep your mind on. So this being the first football week of the year here, any indication on how they're going to handle this game against the Lions on Friday night? Do you think Michael Penix will play a series, or Kirk Cousins will play a series? What's going to happen with Jalen Walker and his hamstring? Are they just going to play this like straight safe and just backup kind of deal?
Yeah, I think they're going to play it extremely backup kind of deal. Like you said, the latter there. I think Raheem Morris, the head coach, telegraphed that as much as he felt like he could when he was asked about it in like the opening, maybe on like the first day of training camp. He was asked about how he was going to approach these preseason games and basically said, you know, that it hasn't really, you know, the status hasn't changed, or the philosophy has not changed in his mind based on what it was last year. And last year we didn't really see hardly any of the starters. And to be honest, John, like we saw players go down with season-ending injuries during these games. And so for that reason, I think that he has something to fall back on in terms of his thinking behind this, as much as it frustrates fans and myself. I'll put myself in that boat, which is I want to see starters play. And I got to be honest, John, for no other reason than just purely selfish, I just want to see football. You know, I want to see the best players out there. And just selfishly, I want to see starters for that reason. I think that one of the bigger questions is whether Kirk Cousins would play in some of these games as the backup quarterback. And typically, if you're not going to play your starters, then your backup plays. And I would say a couple things is as reason why I don't think Kirk is going to play much at all, if at all. And that's for a couple of reasons. One, if you even go back to last year, Michael Penix was the backup, and he even hardly played in these preseason games. I think, what did he have? Like, in total, I think he had like one quarter and one series or something throughout the three preseason games. Maybe it was like three or four series total. So even he was not playing much last season. And then I would also add on top of that, yes, while Kirk is the backup, he's still a very prized possession for the Falcons team because of his trade value. And so for that reason, I think that they need to treat him like a starter, because all of a sudden, if something were to happen to him, all of that value goes kaput on the trade market, which is still, I think, an open, you know, consideration for the Falcons. They're not going to give him away, of course, because he still has value for the team, but I think they're going to treat him very carefully as well. And it's worth noting that they both these quarterbacks, I think, have looked pretty good so far in this training camp.
Yeah, you put Cousins out there, he blows out an Achilles or an ankle or a knee, and there goes $37 million out the window. I mean, yeah, no, you're not.
Right.
I don't think they're gonna risk that. I mean, at this point, the whole point of Kirk Cousins isn't to be the backup. The whole point of Kirk Cousins, Joe, is to be a trade
piece. John, can I? Yeah, exactly. I want to add something else, which is I see a reaction, and I got to say, I'm like, there are some Falcons fans out there, in my opinion, just from the way I'm reading some of their comments about Kirk, like there's some like, honestly, like vengefulness almost, like he needs to play because that's what backup quarterbacks do, and that kind of thing, and just because of the turmoil and the way that the quarterback situation kind of shook out last year, and I just think that's the wrong way to approach it. And the way to approach it is that, you know, any prized possession that the Falcons have at this point in time are most likely not going to be playing in this game. And one of the reasons why, especially at quarterback, is because if you're holding any of your starting offensive linemen out of this game for rest, which they very well could need, you know, if they're carrying some sort of knock, you obviously wouldn't want to be throwing them into that situation. Then it's really hard to put a quarterback in, and because if that backup lineman were to, you know, give up a free runner that takes a shot at your quarterback, that's going to look even worse for you as the head coach.
You know, the Carolina Panthers have made a statement, Joe, that they're going to play their starters in preseason.
Well, yeah. I mean, hey, again, good for that. Again, I kind of wish the Falcons would do the same. I could be totally, maybe we do get a series or two from the starters. I think it kind of depends. But, you know, I think that's probably like, you know, Dave Canales has a young team there. The head coach is the offensive play caller there. It's just a philosophy I think that different coaches have. And I think it's pretty clear at this point, Raheem Morris trusts, you know, a veteran football team, especially on offense, that he doesn't want to put him out there. But, you know, again, I'm at the front of the line saying that I hope they're wrong, and I hope we do see these guys.
All right, because, again, Joe knows this, and you are all aware of it. I haven't been able to, it kills me that I can't go to Flowery Branch and go to camp, so I rely on Joe to be my eyes and ears here. Joe, one of my storylines that I've been following here, that's coming out of Flowery Branch in everything I read, has been the feistiness of camp, whether it's JPJ or Rukororo or Felipe Franks at one point, that there's been some fisticuffs in camp. And I have to say, I'm actually liking reading that because it says that these guys are, you know, they're spirited is a much better way than just to dog it through camp and just hope that the season starts okay. So I'm good with this.
Yeah, no, I think every Falcons fan was enjoying kind of hearing about this or seeing it. I think there were some clips that were going around of the skirmishes, as they've been kind of phrased. I actually, the one day of training I had in my schedule planned to miss, I just had a personal conflict, couldn't make it that day. And of course, it was one of the most exciting days with everything that was going down. But I think that the add to the point, on top of just the excitement of seeing kind of, you know, get chippy like that and whatnot, because I do worry about that kind of thing, like, you know, spilling over. Because, frankly, like, you know, I'm not trying to compare myself to a professional athlete or whatever, but on high school at least, and, you know, I was in the middle of something from time to time. I remember getting super pissed because someone grabbed my face mask, and then I grabbed, you know, the other guy's face mask, and, you know, like, you start just seeing red in that moment. So I can understand what the players are going through, but I think that the great part about it was that after we talked in practice, I talked to Matthew Bergeron, who was at the center of this, whose helmet did get ripped off. I can't remember if it was James Pierce Jr. or Leonard Floyd. I think it was James Pierce Jr. Who took his helmet off. You know, Matthew Bergeron was saying that, like, he's great. He loved that kind of thing. There was no bad blood. You know, there was no ill will afterwards. The team was able to just, you know, continue practice after the whole skirmish kind of blew up a little bit. And while it did kind of disallow them from doing some of their developmental work at the end of practice, I think they were still able to get a lot of the work in that they wanted to do. And clearly there's not bad by it from, you know, other players in that locker room. So I think it's all good at this point in time.
We're talking to Joe Patrick. He's our Falcons insider with John Fricke on Sports Radio 90 on the game. You put any stock in the Falcons sticking their nose into the Dallas Cowboys situation around Micah Parsons?
I put absolutely no stock into it. I put no stock into it. Like, I understand, you know, anytime there's a big free agent that is on the market, or, you know, a player becomes available via trade publicly, you know, for obvious reasons, every NFL team wants to, you know, wants to be in the mix to acquire that player. I don't think it makes sense for the Falcons for a lot of reasons. It's not to say Micah Parsons isn't a great player. He's obviously like the best at what he does in the NFL and unique in what he does in the NFL. But a couple reasons. One, you know, the Falcons have already kind of put plans in place as to address this particular issue with the team at the edge rushing position, doubling down on that in this draft. And in doing so, they gave away, you know, they traded next year's first round pick to take it this year. So you don't really have the ammunition in terms of the capital to go out and get that player. You know, there was obviously some of these trade rumors that were floating around, but I guarantee you, just by virtue of the fact that the Falcons don't have that first round pick next year, there's pretty much every other team in the NFL, I think, can make the better offer to the Cowboys, and ultimately it's the Cowboys' decision on what offer they want to take. I found it funny, like, you know, one of these rumors that was going around was like trading away all these players that are currently on the Falcons roster who are going to be free agents next year. Like why would the Cowboys want to take on Kyle Pitts and Tyler Allgeier, players who they're just going to have to go sign against the NFL market in free agency anyway? So it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. And I don't think the Falcons are best positioned to even win that auction, basically, if there were to be one for Micah Parsons.
So the Falcons work out, Joe. They work out C.J. Henderson. Was a time a few years back. He was a top 10 pick in the NFL draft, a corner out of Florida. Didn't work out in Jacksonville. Played for a couple of years in Carolina. My question isn't whether or not they liked C.J. Henderson or where he kind of fits if they decide to sign him. My question is, they're working out a guy here that they think that has the potential to be impactful in the secondary. Does that give you a question at cornerback as to whether or not they're comfortable at that position with who they have now?
I tend to not think it's so much that. I tend to think, John, that when you see signings at this point in time, first of all, they should very rarely kind of be considered game changers, because there's a reason why these guys are still available in the training camp oftentimes. Yeah. I'm not saying you're saying that either. But I think that the other thing is that when you're looking at a preseason game coming up on Friday, that's what I look at it more as, is like the team needs guys to go out there and play. And I think it also signals that they probably don't want to play some of their starters. So they want to bring some guys in potentially. And just to make up the numbers so that you can get through some of these games. He is an interesting player. It's kind of funny that he was actually drafted higher than AJ Terrell, and is kind of, you know, obviously Terrell has gone a totally different trajectory in his career. And I think that, you know, the Falcons do like to take these shots on guys who are, you know, formerly, you know, had notoriety or you know, had this kind of prestige about them. Like Mike Hughes is an example of a guy who obviously was more of a commodity. The Falcons signed him on a legitimate deal in free agency, you know, 2 years ago. But again, he was another guy who was a former first round pick who they felt like had upside, and they wanted to kind of see if there was upside there. And I think that, you know, Hughes has rewarded them for that. So I think the Falcons are always going to be interested in these kinds of players who at one point showed a lot of promise and for whatever reason has gotten off track. But ultimately this one, I wouldn't expect him to make the roster basically at the end of cuts.
Joe Patrick joining us. It is interesting to me that you have all these rankings that come out, Joe. You know, they'll rank the best players at every position, or they'll rank they do the NFL top 100 or whatnot. And the players all look at these, but when they come out with the Madden ratings, oh, the players look at those because they play themselves. And so it becomes a hot thing if all of a sudden a player goes, what, you know, I'm rated what? So has there been any reaction here? The Falcons had four players rated at 90 or above. I don't play Madden. I assume that anything over 90 is pretty good. So they had four players that were rated over 90. AJ Terrell was just under 80. They have seven just under 90. They had seven that were over 80. The four over 90 were Jesse Bates at 95, Chris Lindstrom at 94, Bijan at 92, and Drake at 91. Have you heard any reaction from any of the players who were talking about the fact that they felt that they were underrated on Madden?
Yeah, you know what's funny is I bet you like the four players who are rated the highest on the Falcons are probably the least likely to actually play Madden. And I can't help but laugh and thinking that there's some correlation there, that the better you are as a football player, you're probably less prone to like spending your time playing video games. Yeah, I did actually ask Drake London about it, and he basically confirmed this to me, at least from his perspective. He's like, I don't play Madden. And he kind of just said it bluntly, but he did say, but I appreciate their rating of me. I think he was number 8 wide receiver in the NFL based on his Madden rating at a 91 overall. And I think that he's got an argument to make to be over. I think like Terry McLaurin was rated a point higher. I would take Drake London personally between the two of them. But, you know, Chris Lindstrom, Jesse Bates, I mean, these are like the most like disciplined, hardworking, you know, players. And not to say that playing Madden is like conducive to not being a good football player, but these are guys who are just either they're studying their book, you know, they're spending lots of extra time, you know, just doing everything they can to prepare their mind and body to be ready to play football. And if they're not doing that, they're probably spending time with their families or whatever it is, kind of disconnecting from the sport itself completely. And that's probably good for their mental health as well. So it's just kind of funny how that works out. But I think that, you know, generally, I think the Falcons are getting a little bit more respect in the Madden ratings these days.
All right, so I should
add, while we're talking about video games, Ryan Neuzel apparently is like the best at video games. At Madden and college football on the team.
And he was the lowest rated Falcon. He was at 65.
Is he really?
So, yeah. How about that? I got just about a minute. Since you are also our de facto correspondent for the Ohio State University, who's going to win the quarterback job? Julian Sayin or Lincoln Kleinholz?
It should be Julian Sayin. I feel pretty confident in saying that. Big prospect. He was committed to Alabama, and then he transferred over, and it's just crazy how these quarterbacks kind of transfer all over the place. I've never really seen Kleinholz as a legitimate like future starter for the Ohio State, so I'm hoping Julian Sayin wins the job. I expect him to win the job, and you know, we'll see how it goes. But, you know, Ryan Day, I was just looking, you know, basically ever since Ryan Day has taken over as the head coach at Ohio State quarterbacks have played really well and produced really well. So I have confidence that he can kind of fit into a system.
Not Kleinholz. Kleinholz.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I gotcha. The Ohio State University. Yeah, okay.
I was worried you were going to ask about Lanny Knight of there as like being a correspondent. I was worried.
No, I'm not going to talk about a team that's won 4 games and 26 starts.
They're not going to be bowl eligible.
They'd be top draft pick eligible, maybe.
Right, exactly.
Lord. All right. Thank you, Joe, as always.
All right. Thanks, John.
Joe Patrick, host of the Joe Patrick Football Podcast, and you can find that on 92.9 The Game and wherever you find your podcasts. We'll be updating that as we go along. All right, quick break, and your call's next. Let's open up the phone lines. Let's chat. You heard Joe, your reaction to what he had to say about Micah Parsons, about quarterbacks playing, and more. It's all ahead on this first Sunday of the first football week of the Atlanta Falcons season on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 90 Time the Game from the Northern Kia Studios live on this Sunday morning. If you want to jump into the program, you know how this works. 404-726-0929. I got to say it slower for folks in Lithonia and Ackworth. Why are you talking Lithonia? I went to high school there. I know how slow people are. I mean, I'm slow too. So I went to high school at Lithonia High. So, I mean, that's the education I have. That's my education level. No, it's actually a good high school. It's a much better high school now than it was when I went there. it's a better high school too, because it's a new one. The old one downtown that I went to, I don't know, it's some kind of, I don't know what it is now. I think it went from a high school to a junior high to a, I don't know, it's something else now. So forgive me for not knowing. I drove by it, I don't know, 7-8 years ago, and I was like, oh, okay, it's not even a school anymore, or it's some kind of, I don't know what it is. So pardon me for not knowing. 404-726-404, you know that, 726-0929. Now, we can disagree without being disagreeable. Just don't be a Richard, that's all, unless your name is Richard. And my statement to you, as always, is you are welcome. This is your show. You're a guest, not a caller. If you call and you're on hold, just be patient. Sometimes I know that some people get a little impatient. I don't blame you, but I have conversations with people. So if you do call in and you're on hold, the only thing I can tell you is I guarantee you will make it on the air, okay? It may take a little while, but just be patient. We'll get to you. I know it's interminable. It's like, you know, one of those, you know, your wait time is, you know, okay, I get that. But the upside of that is you don't get in here and it's not like, you know, some of the other shows, that most shows in the nation, where you get to say something for 15 seconds and then you're off the air. We have a convo, you and I, all right? And so I'll ask you questions. You can ask me questions. It's how it works. This is an old-school talk show in that regard. So I'll also put out stuff. I'll have a couple, three things here that I'll put out for you that you can jump in on. These are the kind of front-and-center things for me. It doesn't mean I won't talk about the disaster of the Braves or the disaster of Atlanta United this year. I'll be happy to talk about those. I'll be happy to talk about any NFL team, any college football team. If you want to talk about your team, including the Ohio State University, and I do that mockingly only because it's actually that the name of the school. They added the about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago? They actually added the as official part. It was like, okay, whatever there, you know. You know, it's like not like a kind of a nickname, because Penn State's name really isn't Penn State. You know that, right? Everybody knows that, right? We just call it Penn State, but that's not the name of the school. School's Pennsylvania State. So we should probably call it Pennsylvania State, because that's the actual name of the school. It's Pennsylvania State. But nobody says that. They just call it Penn State. So we'll get into all that. But if you want to talk about your school, that's fine. Well, I'll be happy to have a conversation with you about your school, your team. Any team you want. You want to talk about the Hawks, jump in. So it's an open show in that regard. Now, I do offer you some things, and here's what I'm offering this morning, okay? I talked to Joe about the Falcons and fighting in camp. Are you good with that? Because I'm good with it, and I'd like to know if you are too. Noel, are you good with the Falcons fighting in camp? We hear James Pierce Jr., Ruka Roro, Felipe Franks, that these guys have been kind of dusting it up in camp. I haven't heard that from the Falcons in quite a while, where they've had multiple skirmishes in camp. I think that's a good thing.
Agreed. I loved hearing it, and I loved hearing who was in the middle of it, James Pierce Jr., like somebody that's not him, the player, that's contentious, but, you know, going back up to get him and blah, 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 and all the made-up stuff around that. To for him to be the one to be in the middle of it and bringing that type of energy that he should be bringing to the opposing team when we get to that part of the season. Yes, love that. Need more of it. Fisticuffs.
All right. So one is, are you good with the Falcons fighting? Are you concerned about the Falcons fighting? Do you think there's a lack of discipline there? How do you feel about that? That's one area you can touch. If you know, again, you can go wherever you want. I'm just offering some stuff up. And number two, the Micah Parsons thing. We talked about it yesterday, about whether or not you wanted to get Micah Parsons. There were a lot of hosts and writers and stuff in Atlanta saying, do it, do it, do it, do it. whatever it costs, do it, you know. And I was like, yeah, I don't know if you really want to do that. I have a question about that, though. It's not about whether or not you're going to do it with Michael Parsons, because they're not going to do it. Jerry Jones was out there saying to Cowboys fans, you know, don't worry, I've got this, you know, like Micah's going to still be part of the team, which he probably will be. But Jerry Jones is out there saying, don't worry, you know, this is going to be fine. If you're a Cowboys fan, you know, we can get mad as we want here as Falcons fans about, 2012, 17 to nothing, or, you know, you get certainly 28-3 and all that kind of stuff. But these Cowboys fans who have this inflated self-worth, you know, in terms of their history, which has been glorious, I'll give you that, but this is Jerry Jones. Do you know that the last time the Cowboys were in a conference championship game, the last time, and every team in the NFC has been to the conference championship game, the NFC title game, since the Cowboys went last. So the Cowboys actually had the longest drought of any team in the entire NFC. Every other NFC team has been to the NFC title game since the Dallas Cowboys were last in the NFC title game. And the Dallas Cowboys haven't been in the NFC title game, forget about a Super Bowl, since Deion Sanders was a cornerback for the Cowboys 30 years ago. It's been 30 years since the Cowboys were in an NFC title game, and subsequently to that, a Super Bowl, which they won. Neil O'Donnell actually outplayed Detroit men in that game. Many of you were not old enough to remember that game, but the Cowboys won the game. So my question about Parsons has nothing to do with any of that. So Falcons fighting, is that good? Number two, about Parsons and all the discussion, one of the areas I'd like to explore with you is kind of the side note to that, which is all of the people that wanted Micah Parsons, all the hosts, all the writers, all the fans that were excited about the potential of trying to get, you know, Micah Parsons doing whatever it took to get him here. And I was asking the question yesterday. I kind of want to go into it a little bit. Are the Falcons one player away? Is Micah Parsons, if you were to make that move, are they like one player away from winning a Super Bowl? Because if they are, then you make the move. And if they're not, I'm kind of curious, how close do you think they are from winning a Super Bowl? Are they more than one player away? Are they two players away? Are they five players away? Are they a new head coach away? How far are they removed from the idea? Look, again, when you all you got to do is get a chip and a chair here, right? You got to get into the tournament. You got to win the NFC South. You win the NFC South under the current rules, which haven't changed yet. They should, but they haven't. You're going to get a home game in the playoffs. You get a home game in the playoffs, and anything can happen, right? Anything can happen. You're in. And you're at home, and you get a shot. And who knows, maybe you get a bye, maybe you don't. It doesn't matter. Well, it does, but, you know, hey, listen, get the home game. Win the South, get the home game. Let's see what happens here. So how close are the Falcons? Are they really just a player away? That would be the idea of, listen, it takes, you know, to get Micah Parsons here is that they're one player away. They're not going to get, by the way, they're not going to get Micah Parsons here. It's just not going to happen. But for all the reasons that Joe laid out. But I am kind of curious as to whether or not you think the Falcons are so close to a Super Bowl that a move of that nature, of that kind of high-caliber move, could put them over the top. I'm just curious what you think about that. We are 20 days to college football, and I was talking last night to ostensibly some friends of mine who are now former friends of mine because of the discussion. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have any friends. No, I was just having back and forth. One of my friends is just stuck, and he can't get off of it. He's a really good guy. I worked with him at multiple networks. He's the godfather to my daughter. I mean, he's a really good guy. I really like him a lot. And you know, he's the godfather to my daughter, for crying out loud. But he is just bitter about this whole NIL and transfer portal, and he's like checking out on college football, and I don't care anymore, and, you know, it's just professional football, and it doesn't matter to me. And I'm like, okay. You know, I love Ed to death, but he's just checking out on it, okay? And so I'm curious as to whether or not you are, because we're 20 days away from the college football season starting. And I can't tell you how excited I am for college football this year. And I'm curious if anybody out there is, you used to be a college football fan and you're checking out, like my friend Ed. You're just like, I'm done. This sucks. It's not what I used to. I don't like it anymore. It's no fun. Because for me, it hasn't changed. When we get Alabama going onto the field against Florida State, when we get Texas walking into the horseshoe against Ohio State, when we get LSU and Clemson in the Death Valley versus Death Valley game, when we get all of these great opening weekend games, Georgia Tech going into Boulder to face Colorado, I mean, we get all these. Notre Dame is going to be playing Miami on the opening week of college football. Over Labor Day weekend is bananas great with incredible matchups. The two games at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Syracuse and Tennessee, Virginia Tech, South Carolina. It's bananas good with great, great matchups, including potentially the two best teams in America head-to-head with Texas and Ohio State. And you're not excited about that? Or I'm just kind of curious. So those are the things that are kind of front and center with me because Ed and I were going around about it, and he's checked out. And I'm like, okay, are there more Eds out there? So Falcons fighting good. Are the Falcons just one player away? 20 days to college football. Has the game been ruined for you, and have you checked out on it? I'm just curious. If you have, Ed and I were going around about it. I mean, it was polite. I was like, oh, okay. Because I haven't checked out. I can't tell you how excited I am. On Sports Radio 90, time the game.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.